But I wanted to take full advantage of this tsunami because it got a lot of people's attention. And I'm very glad it did, because it makes a lot of scripture come alive. That's what everything sounds like when she gets up in the morning. Come to think of it, that's about like I sound too. The coming glory of the latter house. Well, I've had a few people along the way said, Brother McElmurray, you just keep telling those people about pie in the sky. They need something for now. They need something right now. Tell them about what God can do for them right now. Well, he can do an awful lot for you right now. But as far as you being willing to serve him, he put an awful lot of things in the future so that you think about it. And you'd say, well, you know what? He loves me enough to die for me and to put all that on the other side waiting for me. And I want to know as much as I can about it. And the more you learn about it, the better servant you become, because you see that there's something here that God has promised you that's waiting for you. Now, an old prophet named Haggai, the coming glory of the latter house. This latter house is going to be on this earth. We're going to be on this earth in glorified bodies if we know the Lord. This is our future. So these are things that have not yet come to pass, but will. And things we're going to see, be a part of. And the more we understand this, the more likely we are to want to be faithful to him out of thanksgiving and gratitude for what he's promised us on the other side. He didn't just save us by his blood. He didn't just seal us by his blood. He doesn't just keep us by his blood. He's made us a promise in heaven of an inheritance, and it's all by his blood. And it's there. And I believe it. And the more you believe it, the easier it is to do what he wants. Or to be willing, I should say, to do what he wants. The current situation in the Middle East, the unstable world economy, the increase in earthquake and volcanic related phenomena, the rapidly declining morality on a worldwide basis, the ever-increasing attacks on the Bible and its validity, and I mean it's going wild now. When you read that report about Joe Cox, the government has now, in Kenya, voted to make missionaries pay 30% of their total income to the government for income tax there. And those missionaries have to also pay their income tax here. And they are persecuting the local churches that are made up of Joel Cobb and Ernie Hoffer because they're not a member of the whole ecumenical movement there. And they're giving them a really rough, hard time. So we not only have the ever-increasing attacks on the Bible and its validity in this country, we've got active persecution of the truth all over the world. So the current situation in the Middle East, the unstable world economy, the increase in earthquake and volcanic-related phenomena, the rapidly declining morality on a worldwide basis, the ever-increasing attacks on the Bible and its validity, the attempt to remove anything which could be associated with God from public places, and a falling away from the truths once delivered to the first New Testament churches has convinced me that Haggai's prophecy in Haggai 2, 6, and 9 will soon be fulfilled. Soon the branch, the root, the rod out of David, the man who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will return to build the temple of Ezekiel 40 through 48. And considering the world situation, the immorality, the ungodliness, as I grow older, and as we all experience this, I think more and more God's children are coming to the conclusion that John ended the book of Revelation with when he said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because this is the biggest mess down here I've ever seen in my life. It is not going to get any better. it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So death, which used to be a horrible thing to me, is becoming rather a pleasant thought, because I'll get to go and be with him, and I'll be waiting in heaven to come back with him, while the rest of the people on this earth are struggling with a tremendous persecution and trial. Haggai was a prophet in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, who brought the nation of Israel back from Babylonian captivity. The prophets were Haggai and Zechariah. You see, I use Zechariah a lot, and Haggai was a prophet at the same time. They were the last of the prophets. Now, John the Baptist was a prophet, but they were the last of the Old Testament prophets. So a lot of things they had to say were not about the Babylonian captivity, which occurred in 587 B.C., nor about the Assyrian captivity, which occurred in about 712 B.C. It was about what's coming on the last generation. Now, the reason I'm presenting this now is because I've presented this all over the United States, but I couldn't get people's attention because the stuff wasn't getting bad enough. Well, with that tsunami in Southeastern Asia, it's bad enough now. Haggai 2 and 6. Remember, this old man wrote this, and something that he said was going to happen in the last days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while. He said it's a little while, and a day is as a thousand years with the Lord. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. That pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? And that's exactly what God intends to do during the tribulation period, is shake everything that is around the earth, on the earth, or under the earth, or above the earth. He's going to shake it. And he's going to give it a fantastic, God-driven shaking. No one, and I present this, but I don't understand just how horrible it's going to be. But just from reading this, I can know it's certainly going to be a lot of worse than most people expect. Isaiah the prophet, who wrote long before Haggai, told about it also. Isaiah was the prophet who wrote a lot about future things. Isaiah probably wrote more about future things than Daniel or any of the rest of them. They all wrote about future things, but Isaiah wrote about a lot of things that were going to happen in the last days. Daniel did too. But Isaiah is very graphic about the things that were going to occur. Thou shalt be visited unto the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, great noise, storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. Haggai said, I will shake the heavens. Isn't that where thunder and lightning occurs? He said, and the earth. Great groaning noises of the tectonic plates, with thunder, with earthquake, and with great noise. And the earth, and the sea. Didn't Isaiah say, with storms and tempests, aren't those the things that have been happening with the tsunami waves? And the flame of devouring fire, and the dry land, volcanic eruptions on the dry land, earthquakes on the dry land. Anybody who goes into this and doesn't have any idea what's happened, I don't care whether they're atheistic, agnostic, professing believers, anyone who goes into this without having any idea of what's about to happen, there's only one reason. They were not interested in what God had to say. They would not listen to what God had to say. And instead of believing the Bible, they did everything they could to discredit, saying it was just an old historical book, that it had a lot of errors in it, that it was mistranslated, it was not translated properly, and they attacked the Bible from every angle. And every single solitary one of them, whether they're believers, atheists,
are agnostics, are heretics, every single one of them. Islam, Buddhist, all the false religions, every single one of them that goes into this will not have any idea what's happening. Why? Because they weren't interested in the Word of God. You may think that you're coming to church and you're studying the Word of God and you're all doing this, it's just some quaint little thing in your life that you have a lot of difficulty in doing. But I'll guarantee you, when this mess starts, you're going to be one of the few people on this earth that has any idea what's happening. And I think God's probably going to use you more than he's ever used you in your lifetime. Malachi. Malachi was the absolute last prophet. Haggai and Zechariah were latter-day prophets, but so was Malachi. Malachi 4, 1 and 2. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. If that's true, 99% of the world says, ha, 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 ridiculous. They're going to go in this, and most of the world has never heard this. Whose fault is it? God's? No. It's the fault of men and women who don't want to understand what God has to say. And when the Holy Spirit has tried to lead them to this, they ridicule it and make fun of it. There won't be any fun making when it starts. Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor not ever shall be. Haggai 2 and 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Haggai 2, 7. And I will shake all nations. That's one of the reasons that I know those tectonic plates are going to move on a worldwide basis. It says in Revelation 16, 18, and there was a great earthquake, and all the nations, everywhere on the earth, all the people are going to feel it, because it will spread across the entire surface of the earth, rippling along those tectonic plate boundaries. He says, I will shake all nations. This isn't going to be a few local earthquakes in the Jordan River Valley. They're going to be all over the earth, wherever those tectonic plate boundaries exist. And I will shake all nations. Now, there is one very happy thing about all this. When you get in it, and you know I believe you're going to be in it up to the seventh trumpet. I believe you're going to go through the seals. I believe you're going to go through the trumpet. I believe you're going to be here. And I'll guarantee you something. By the time he comes, and the desire of all nations shall come, at the end of this great shaking, Jesus is going to return. And for those of you who believed in him, trusted in him, looked forward to his coming, knew what was happening when all this started, your desire for him to come is going to be unbelievably intense. He said, and the desire of all nations shall come. Well, he's coming. He's bringing all the saved back with him. We're going to be judged in heaven. Not for heaven or hell. That's settled right here, right now, with what you do with Jesus. Whether you repent of your sins and trust Jesus or you don't, that's settled here. But you're going to come back with him if you're saved at the end of the tribulation period. And those that are left on the earth here, they're going to be mighty glad to see him. The ones who come back with him, the souls are going to be mighty glad to see him. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, I've lived in this house over here for a long time. I've lived on this earth for 72 years. I'm looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ builds the house. I'm looking forward to the time when he comes back and this millennial temple is built in Jerusalem. I'm looking forward to the time when I get to see him go into it. I'm looking forward to the time when he puts me to work for him in the millennial reign. It's going to last for 1,000 years.
And I figure the more I work for him here, the more I try to serve him here, the more he's going to give me to do there. Haggai 7:8. And I will shake all nations, the desire of all nations shall come. Here's when he comes at the end. Now the rapture occurs before this. But you've been warned. And the only people on this earth that are going to be shocked are the ones who didn't believe that this book was the Word of God. It's so simple, it's so plain, it almost makes you wonder about it. This book has been here for some time. And the reason that these people are going to be shocked and surprised, horrified, because they weren't interested in what he had to say. We don't want any of this pie in the sky stuff. We want to come to church and be entertained. We want to be made to feel good about ourselves and then to go home. We don't want anybody preaching to us, telling us that terrible things are coming. We want somebody to tell us smooth things that will make us feel good. Those people are going to be just as shocked as the atheists and agnostics. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. That's your thing Isaiah talked about. And Haggai talked about the shaking of the heavens. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Those are the earthquakes, the tsunamis. Men's hearts failing for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I heard several preachers in my lifetime, in the last 15 years, 20 years, that have said, that's the reason we're having all these heart attacks. That's the biggest bunch of baloney ever came down the pipe. The reason we're having all these heart attacks is because we're overeating just like I do, not exercising enough, lazy as a bunch of wild hogs, and that's the reason we're having all the heart attacks. But believe me, when this stuff starts here, some of these people's hearts that fail are going to be young people in good shape who were completely shocked, stunned, lost their wives, their family, all they owned, their parents. All hell breaks loose all over the earth. The whole tectonic plate structure starts to move. And then they have to face life without air conditioning, without food, without creature comfort, with dead bodies all over the place. And you better believe there are a lot of people that are going to die of heart attacks. Men's hearts failing for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. What's going to come next? And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Here comes the desire of all believers who've had to suffer through a lot of this. They'll be raptured out on the seventh trumpet. They're all going to come back with him. And the desire of all nations shall come. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I'll be with him. I'm absolutely positive of that. Is it because I'm a good person? No, I'm a rotten bum. Is it because I'm a righteous? No, I'm an unrighteous man in the flesh. Is it because I'm a really good man? No. Nothing good about me. But I tell you, I have somebody living inside me that's good. Somebody living inside me that's righteousness, full of righteousness, perfect righteousness. His name's Jesus. He stays on me like a duck on a June bug because I'm a sinner in the flesh. He leads my soul, seals it, has it forever, and daily tries to get it to do right. And he's going to judge me for whether or not my soul followed him and walked the path that God had for me or walked the path of the flesh. And when these things begin to come to pass, I think the tsunami and the number of worldwide earthquakes increasing, I think we have reason to believe these things are starting to come to pass. We're not in the tribulation period, but we're close. Then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I know it's very common for everybody to say, well, preachers always expect you to come to church. I give you my word before the God of this universe. My concern is not so much that you have a number appearing on a church book, a name appearing on a church book, that you're filling up a church pew. My concern is your attitude and your heart, relationship with God, and whether or not you're serving God because you believe all this and you love him, and you see what he saved you from and spared you from.
Daniel 7:13-14. Well, when Jesus returns, a lot of interesting things are going to happen. Daniel 7:13-14. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I'm going to be on this earth in a glorified body. That's settled by the blood of Christ. Where I live on this earth has not yet been settled. Oh, the Lord knows everything, and he knows where I'll be, but I don't. I know I'll be on this earth, but I don't know what I'll be doing. But I know this much. If I don't work for him here, if I don't serve him here, if I don't learn to love the other people in the church, if I don't learn to come to church and worship him out of love and respect and thanksgiving, then I've blown it. I want to be over there in Jerusalem. I want to be where he is. I want to see him up close. And I want him to give me work to do and things to do. I won't have an old worn out body. I'll have an eternal glorified body. And I want him to empower me to work for him. I want to be given jobs, assignments, and tasks. None of you like to stay, lay around and do nothing. You even get tired of that. Everybody wants to be used of the Lord. 7b. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. He's going to rebuild the millennial temple. And he's going to fill it with glory. And the glory is going to come from all the nations of the world. Zechariah 6:12-13. This was a prophet who also prophesied, and who knew Haggai. Zechariah 6:12-13. Speaking to him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the man whose name is the branch. It's all capitalized for a reason. It's referring to Christ. And he shall grow up out of his place. Now look at this. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. He's already sent the instructions down. He doesn't have to stand there and tell them to pick up every stone, where to put it. The instructions are specific and exacting. They're the most exacting narrative descriptions ever written in the Bible. They're from Ezekiel 42:43. And all you've got to have is a narrative blueprint, and you can build it, and the Lord doesn't have to be there to tell you where to put every ashlar. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall set and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. In Israel, they always had a king and a priest. The king and the high priest. He will be both. And he will rule over all of Israel and rule over all the world. And that's my Savior. That's the one who lives inside me. That's the one who lives, motivates me. That's the one who Paul said in Philippians, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now, if God's working in you to will and do of his good pleasure, there's no question that he's doing it. The Bible says so. The question is, how much are you letting him do in you, and how much are you holding in reserve to where you think other things are more important than God having his way and his will in your life? He will sit on the throne of David as both eternal ruler and eternal high priest, thereby combining the two offices that existed in the Old Testament structure of Israel, and he will rule over all the earth. Now, I want to just ask a question. Don't mean to be insulting. Don't want to make you mad. Do you believe this? Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Are you saved? Well, you don't be here. How do you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in the Lord's service? If any of you have the audacity to say, well, I rate myself about a 10. Well, I rate you about a minus 10. If you'll say maybe a 1, then you've got the right attitude. That's about what I think of myself, maybe a 1. I can't ever be perfect like Jesus in this life. I can't ever do the same work he did. I'm not capable. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I can sure make the effort to follow the leadership of his Spirit in what this book teaches. Why do I spend so much time trying to get people to realize that after they're saved, they need to be baptized. Let me give it to you plain. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because that's what God wants from you. And for those of you that have already been baptized and you understand the church is local and visible and you're a part of it, why do I spend so much time in urging you, exhorting you to be faithful in it? Here's why. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. That's why. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. You think I do this so people can say, Brother Muckenberg pastors a big church? You think I have an ulterior motive in this? You think my motives aren't pure? Listen, I want you to serve God in this church for your benefit. Because it's something that all of us are going to have to be taken account of at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that scripture. And I know he's going to be here, and I know he's going to rule, and that's the only ruler we'll have. Some of you have gotten a call from Ronald Reagan, or maybe you were a Jimmy Carter fan. Maybe you were a Kennedy fan. Pick out your favorite president, whatever your Democratic or Republican affiliation. Pick him out. If he had called you and wanted you to come to Washington and visit with him and be with him, what an honor. What an honor. What an honor. This is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of God. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. He has invited you. And the invitation to come and be and dwell with him in one place where he is based on obedience to him after he has saved you eternally by his grace. And he put a thing down here, not a thing, the body. And it's local and it's visible. You can see it, you can taste it, you can experience it, you can be a part of it. It's called a local church. Sure doesn't save you, but it puts you where God wants you. And you don't need to join it unless you are saved. But that's where you belong. That's where I belong. That's where I am. I want a good job in the millennium. If I do a good job in one of his churches, and I'm in one of his churches, I'm the pastor of it, he's going to give me a good job in the millennium. That lasts forever. This just lasts temporarily. Christ is the sign that will be set among the nations of the earth at his second advent. And they will fill the millennial temple with glory by their obedience and the return of all Israelis to their homeland by whatever is left for the tribulation period. This tribulation period that's coming is just as bad as the Bible says it is. You're not going to have any gasoline station left. You say, I can't believe that. You're not going to have any massive petroleum reserves sitting down there in huge tanks around Houston and all over the world. They're gone. Total destruction. Horrifying. You're not going to be running around on highways anymore. Most of them will be broken in pieces. Well, at the end of the tribulation period, when the Lord returns, finally God's got people's attention. They're going to take the Jewish people back to their homeland because it'll be perfectly plain who the God of this universe is when he returns. And they're going to get them back over there to Israel any way they can. And I will set a sign among them. Christ is the sign set among us on this earth in Israel. And I will set a sign among them. And I will send those that escape of them back into the nations. 1/6 of the Antichrist's army, according to Ezekiel 39:2, is supposed to survive. The rest of it's going to be annihilated, burned by God. The 1/6 will return to the nations out of which they came from all over the earth. And they'll come back and tell people that they had seen the Lord descending out of heaven. And it's going to scare the pants off what few people are left on this earth. And I will send those that escape back into the nations. To Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud, to draw the bow, to Tubal, to Javan, all over the earth. To the isles, the far off, that have not heard my fame. All over the earth. The United States was not known at this time. Nor was South America or anywhere else. He says, I'm going to places, and they're going back to where they came from after the Battle of Armageddon. They'll come from all over the world. And he says, these people will never have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. He said, they'll go back and tell them, you better get you better get those Jews out of your country and back over there to Israel. And they shall bring all your brethren. Isaiah was a Jew. For an offering of the Lord out of the nations upon horses, whatever is left. And in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem. That's where the temple is going to be built. Saith the Lord, if the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and look what he's going to do with some of those Jews he brings back. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. I'm a Jew lover. Ku Klux Klan has never liked me. I'm a Jew lover. You say, they crucified the Lord. Praise God. If they hadn't crucified him, then how would I ever have been saved? The high priest prophesied that it was necessary that one man die, that the whole nation perisheth not. Yes, I'm glad he was crucified. Yes, I'm glad he was beaten. Yes, I'm glad he had the nails driven through his hands. Yes, I'm glad he suffered in agony beyond all human understanding, because I know he did it for me. And I'm glad because I know that love inside me from the man who did it for me. And I'm thankful for every drop of blood, for every ounce of agony, for all the suffering he endured. Yes, I'm a Jew lover. And Jesus was born a full-blown, full-blooded Jew. And I'm a Jew lover. Haggai 2 and 8. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. When this temple is built, from all over the world, they're going to bring the riches. For 1,000 years, Israel will rule and reign. This is going to become a world like we've never seen before. The riches of the Gentile nations will pour into Israel for the 1,000 years of his reign. Israel's priesthood will be reestablished. Delegations from all nations will come to Jerusalem to worship at the Feast of Tabernacles once a year. Zechariah 14, 14. Who also prophesied at the time of Haggai? And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. Haggai said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah says, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathen, the word heathen means nation, of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. I want to be over there where they come to worship the king. I want to be over there in a glorified body watching them. I want to be over there being given assignments and jobs, responsibility, authority. I want to be a servant of God. I want to work for him. I want to be used of the Lord. Do you? You ever thought about these things? You say, well, you're a preacher. That's different. No, it's not different. I just happen to be called to do this particular assignment. I'm doing that. Are you doing yours? He doesn't call everybody to preach. But he uses the ability that people have. Some of you all know me. You know that some things I'm just absolutely pathetic at. And yet you're very good at it. I don't have Leroy's personality. But Leroy has things about him the Lord wants to use. I don't have Kenneth's personality. I don't have Jimmy's personality. I don't have Charlie's personality. I don't have their ability. I admire and respect every one of them. Because they've got a lot of things they do. I'm just a big dumbbell at it. I'm like a bear cub with boxing gloves trying to get honey out of a tree. This isn't based on good looks. It's not based on speaking ability. It's not based on the ability to sing well, to preach well, to dance well. It's based on what you have and what you are. And you got it from God. And God means for it to be used in his church. And don't do it for any other reason except that's what the Lord wants from you. Because that's what he's going to reward you for. Isaiah 61, 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you menace, the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast yourself. Man, I want to be over there with those Jews. I want to be over there in Israel. I want to be over there where the man who is a living son of God, a Jew on both sides of his genealogy, I want to be over there where he is. Yes, I'm a Jew lover. I make no mistake about it. Zechariah 14, 16. It shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the feast of tabernacles. I'm going to get to see that. Then I want a job. Haggai 2:9. The glory of this latter house, this last house, the millennial temple, shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. The instructions for the building of this great millennial temple are contained in Ezekiel chapters 40 to 43, and Messiah's entry after its completion is predicted in Ezekiel. This is Kenneth Eubanks' favorite scripture. You say, well, that's kind of like that song that Danny always sings. Well, that's true. And it's kind of like I use it, because that's something that means a lot to me. Ezekiel 43, 1 through 7. Man, I'm going to be there, and I want to see this. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looketh toward the east. This is a completed millennial temple. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. It was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibor, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Lord have mercy. That's going to be something beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. Out of the house a man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of children forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither shall they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. Who is a Jew? It is not one who is one outwardly, but whose circumcision is not of the foreskin, but of the heart. 9b. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. It will amount to a peace of 1,000 years to Israel and all the Gentile nations. Israel will be a blessing to all the Gentile nations. And here that is in Scripture, Isaiah 66, 12 through 14. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her knees, and be dangled upon her knees. God loves me. That Jew loves me. That Jew died for me. That Jew was a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. That Jew is someone who I owe everything to. And he was born. Born for the seed of Seth, for the seed of Noah, the seed of Enoch. He was born of the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, Judah in between. And that's going to be one of the happiest times of my life. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see that your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants and his indignation toward his enemies. It would be wise for all believers to worship him today in one of his local churches before his second coming. Well, if you're saved, I praise God. I thank God you know him is saved. But now, let's talk about what God wants from you after you get saved. It would be wise for all believers to worship him today in one of his local churches before his second coming. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long time, I know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye are built together for habitation of God, through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through our ages, world without end. Are you saved? Do you want to be a part of a church preaching and teaching the truth? To try to stand up for the truth? Do you want to be a part of a church that teaches the Word of God? Tries to do what God wants and understands that we're sinners, saved by grace, who have to daily ask for forgiveness of our sins. If you're saved, the Scripture is very clear. I don't have to tell you you need to be baptized. And I don't have to tell you need to be baptized properly by immersion, by church that preaches and teaches the truth. We're going to have one stanza of invitation tonight. If you want to come tonight, if you're saved, and you want to unite with this church, I can only tell you we'd be delighted to have you. And that we're not asking you to come because we're trying to force you into this thing. If you feel God's Holy Spirit leading you, you come. And the Lord will take care of all the rest. Whatever God's laid on your heart tonight, you come.